Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. Sorry, these flashing lights threw me.
We have to say that because Cody sounds like a boy's name. Right. Charlie is like kind of a hip girl's name now.
It was a perfume in the 90s.
Cody?
Charlie was.
Oh, Cody was too, C-O-T-Y.
Wow. That's why we got married.
That's why we got married. Yeah.
So, yeah, we are married. Let's get that out of the way. We like we like beer.
We love beer, but what we love more than beer
is politics. Which is why we created the show. Yes. Who's been to the show before by round of applause? Sue Spinner. A couple of people.
Wow.
All right, a lot
and
of first-timers.
And I think most of them are our friends, so thanks for coming again.
Welcome.
Thank you for that.
Everybody was afraid to sit in the front row. If you're looking for seats, we have four in the front row.
Just come on down. Come on down.
Who here? We like to poll our audience a little bit up top. Who here is feeling the burn? Who in the audience is feeling the burn?
Yeah.
Okay. And who is ready for Hillary? Oh, that's pretty even.
All right, who's trolling for Trump?
Anyone? Is there anybody?
I heard a yeah. Was that a serious yeah or was that a joke?
It's been revealed to be a joke. Is anybody here a Republican? It's okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sincere?
Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
I think that's two people clapping. That's great. We had one at our last show.
Yeah, and now we've got like two potentially. So I think we're increasing our inclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, our diversity program is working.
We're increasing. Yeah, that's right.
Woo!
Yeah, we're working really hard on a new diversity initiative to get more Republicans.
Seriously, if anybody knows any Republicans who want to be on the show, please let us know. We're trying really hard.
And we should also say that we're podcasting the show now, so you can listen to past episodes if you want to hear about current events from a month ago.
You're like, ooh, dying to see what was happening 3 weeks ago.
No, but we will put this show and all future shows, and also we podcast when we don't have a live show.
Yes,
so,
that's true.
In between our live shows. And our next live show is on April 13th. We're going to have some great guests for that show.
So if you like the show tonight, or even if you don't, come back anyway.
Maybe
it'll be
and
better.
That's in like 2 weeks, so you can even get a ticket now.
Yeah.
All right, we have an amazing panel tonight. Should we bring them out?
Let's go ahead and bring out our panel so we can start chugging those beers and start talking about politics. Okay, up first today we have the White House correspondent for BuzzFeed.com, Evan McMorris-Santoro.
Next, we have the head writer of Late Show with Stephen Colbert and the Colbert Report. Before that, please welcome Opis Moreski.
And from the UCB Theater and Astronomy Club, Monique Moses. Oh my gosh, right. This is an all-star panel tonight.
This is an all-star panel. We're also very excited for our guest bartender. So the premise of the show, if you don't know, we're going to chug two beers live on stage while our guest bartender chats with you guys. And it's your uncle.
It's my uncle. My uncle's here today, guys.
So, please welcome Cody's Uncle Harry. Cody's Uncle Harry. This is a Montauk India Session Pale Ale. It's 4.9%. And Harry, we're so excited to hear from you.
Chug, 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 chug.
Hello, everybody. I am Harry, Cody's uncle. And I think that this country is going to shit. Now, some people accuse me of being in an echo chamber on Facebook. But I don't call it that. I call it being surrounded by good people. And one of my favorite things to do on Facebook is to comment on Cody's posts.
All the time. Nonsense.
Take down her liberal friends and just really take them to town because they don't know the real deal. That's for sure. Do you guys know the real deal? Do you? No, you don't. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Tell us what the real deal is.
You know, the real deal is that, you know, you guys come out, Cody's friends, most of you guys, you want to come to a free comedy show. This one wasn't free. You paid for it. But you know what? Most people want it for free. They want that socialist Bernie Sanders and Beyonce to just make everything free. Is that true? Is that what you want? You want Beyonce and Bernie Sanders to come to your door and give you a wad of cash. Congratulations. Now, one of my favorite things to do is find articles with headlines of things that I agree with. And I post them to Facebook. Now, do I read the content? I don't need to. because I agree with exactly what it says right there. Okay?
What?
Look at that. Freeloaders. Now, who here, I heard earlier that some of you are voting for Bernie Sanders. Who's doing that? Well, good luck. All right, I hope you like your society to burn, much like Rome. Who here is voting for Hillary? Okay, let's do a little call and response, shall we? Okay, when I say Hillary, you say Benghazi. Hillary! Hillary! Just a shame. That woman should be in jail because of emails or something like that that I heard. Okay? Now, let me just read you a shocking headline that I read from a publication. I assume that it's a political one called The Onion. Obama says, "Help us destroy Jesus and start a new age of liberal darkness." Do you really want that to happen?
Harry, the Onion's, it's a joke paper.
It is a joke, I tell you that. The way this society is going is a joke. It's, you know who's laughing? The American taxpayers, that's who's laughing. They're laughing all the way to the graveyard.
Never heard that expression.
Now I like to think that I'm an educated man. Here's a list of some of the things that I read or sites that I go to that give me enough information that I can form my own opinion. I'm not really a Republican puppet. I'm nobody's puppet. But here are some sites. My favorite one, Fox News. Second favorite, The Blaze. The third, Conservative Tribune. That's it. Now, I'm going to go out to you guys and ask you a question. Now, do you know what memes are?
Yes.
Great. I run a WordPress where I post conservative memes. Now, I don't make them myself. I charge a young man, or actually a young man charges me. He says it's $50 a meme, which he tells me is the right amount of money to pay for something like that.
$50 for an individual meme?
That's right, $50 for a meme. And then so here's one of the memes that I put on my WordPress. Do you guys want to hear what it is? Yeah. Okay, great. So it's a picture of Bernie Sanders. And on that it says, "You knucklehead. I can't wait for that to go viral."
All right, well, thanks so much. Harry.
Okay, I guess that's all the time I have. But just know that Trump isn't that bad if you think about him. You know, I'm going to vote for him either way because I'm sure as shit not voting for Hillary or Bernie or for Beyonce, whoever you want to elect. So let's make America greater. Hillary!
Benghazi!
Hillary!
Benghazi!
All right. Cody?
Thank you, Uncle Harry. I'll see you at Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, I have a lot to talk about then.
Give it up for Uncle Harry!
Woo!
Wow, how embarrassing for you, Cody.
That is so embarrassing, and he is actually my most normal uncle. So if that tells you anything about my family.
Great head of hair, though. I think we can all agree.
Great head of hair.
How is everybody feeling? When's the last time you chugged?
This is we like to check in, talk
beers?
About how it's...
I can't stop burping.
You know...
This is the part of the show where burps happen for about 2 minutes.
All we do is talk about burping for a long extent. I have to say, Evan really chugged the shit out of that beer.
Yeah, you and I finished last, which is not normal.
No. I know. We're
when
normally...
you watch as much cable news as I do, you learn how to put it back very fast.
Yeah, we make jokes about it, but you're actually in the trenches. So you're like, dude, I gotta get drunk. And Opus, you were very delicate with throwing your beers down, and I really appreciate that.
Well, I liked the crumpling part, but then I thought the throwing part seemed like just a little over the top.
You're
so.
Like, somebody has to clean this up. I don't want to make a mess.
I didn't want to steal attention from your uncle.
So I want to start off with... this week, really hard-hitting question. This is the one that I've been wanting to ask. I think that it's a really important question to ask. Okay, so Melania Trump, Heidi Cruz, and Kasich's wife, fuck, marry, kill.
Very important.
Very important.
Hard-hitting. Starting okay. with the tough time.
I'm just kidding. Nobody answer that. I am a feminist.
I've answered
and
it in my head already.
It's fucking terrible.
You can't stop me.
I love how the guys are like, how do I answer that? And I'm drunk, and I have the answers, but I'm not going to answer that.
Well, you want to marry Melania because you probably get half of Trump's half or something, you know, right?
Yeah, I would totally marry Melania. I would marry all of them. They're all beautiful women and should not be made fun of. Okay, no. Seriously, our first question. So this one's actually for Evan. Evan, you are the White House correspondent for BuzzFeed, but you are covering Bernie Sanders.
That's right.
Or you have been a lot. So do you get to pick who you follow around? And the second part of this question is, how would you describe Bernie's entourage? Like, you know, what's the vibe on the plane? Does he, like, you know, fly coach and sit in the middle seat or...
Well, you know, he actually did used to do that. Now he has his own plane. It's actually in Eastern Airlines, but it was once Ted Cruz's plane.
Ooh.
But
this sounds like a top 1% type situation.
It is. I mean, right. At this point, he's flying at the 1%. But he did used to fly around coach class. The best example of this, so he has this thing where he refuses to take the first class upgrade ever. And so
Wait,
one time
he gets the free upgrade and he says no thank you?
Of course, he flies all the time. And he's a U.S. senator, right? So people give him the upgrades and stuff all the time.
He doesn't take it?
No.
But he upgraded a private plane.
That's right.
He took that
well,
one.
That's right.
He saved up his upgrades.
That's right.
He'll take the whole plane, not the seat, but the whole plane.
But he just doesn't want people to Instagram a picture of him in first class.
Right.
That would be pretty bad.
So on the one hand, he's like kind of nervous about sitting in the front of a plane, doesn't want to be seen as being in first class. On the other hand, he's sort of like an old guy, not really up with the hip stuff, right? So a good example of this, we once flew Southwest, super hip, as you can imagine. And I was on the same flight as him. And, you know, I had a nice early, you know, I checked in nice and early, did my Southwest thing, got my early boarding pass, sat down right there in the front. You know, of course, two people sat right next to me, and it was terrible. But Sanders comes walking on, sees the open seat in the front, is like, oh, no, I can't do that. And they runs to the back of the plane to be worried.
Oh, wait a minute, they don't have first class in
That's
Southwest,
right. They don't, but it's in the front. It's closer to the front.
What?
So he was afraid. So Bernie Sanders was afraid to sit in the front of a Southwest
would
plane.
Would he sit in the
That's
front
what
of
I'm
a
telling
bus?
You.
If you think he would sit in the front of a bus?
I don't. Well, he does. I don't know. His bus is like a campaign, like a concert bus.
Sure, sure.
It's got like a hot tub in it and whatever.
So he might drive the bus.
Yeah.
He does look like a bus driver. So
you know.
is this honestly like is this a status thing or is this like a just a phobia?
Well, that's a good question. I think he's just really, really worried about appearing like he's sitting in first class. I mean, it was an amazing experience because we all know...
No one on Southwest appears like they're sitting in first
that's
class.
Right.
You're
that's
on
right.
Southwest.
We all know what this is like. And this
but on other airlines, if somebody had like an Instagram of Bernie Sanders with a hot towel in first class, that would damage his campaign. That would be equivalent to Romney talking about the 47%.
That's right.
If you had like a hidden camera of
Susan
Bernie.
Sarandon would be pissed off.
That's right. She would be. But she is about just about everything. So, I mean, well, he does eat a lot of steak, though. Okay. So that's his first class.
Does he get like choice like 1% filet cuts or?
You know, I don't know. I know people have eaten steak with him, and it's usually a pretty big steak.
And how? Because I know Trump famously likes his steak like a rock. He likes it super well done. Do you know how Bernie likes his steak done?
We asked about
this.
This
is going to affect my vote, by the way.
We asked about this, and I think he's a medium guy.
Medium, okay.
He's that's a medium guy.
Safe.
I'm a rare guy myself, yeah. But I think he's a medium guy.
Donald Trump likes his steaks well done?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well cooked.
Yeah.
How can you vote for someone who eats a steak well done?
Well, when you
that
buy...
That is like, it was like a third grader who's like, I don't like any pink.
When you buy the kind of grills he buys the classiest, fanciest grills. You're going to grill the shit out of that thing all the way until
you're
it's
right,
done.
You're right. He's like, we're going to work
how
on that
powerful
steak.
That grill is.
That's surprising. I would assume Trump would like his steaks like, you know, on the cow. Like in Jurassic Park, where the velociraptor eats the cow. Like that's
he,
how
like
Trump
he likes
eats
his wife.
His meals.
Me too. I picture that.
Just, what did you say? Like he likes
his wives. Oh, young, fresh. Not me.
And
I'm
brought
not
down
these
to
women.
Him on like a suspended rope for him to devour.
So Opus, we wanted to ask you about Trump.
By the way, I'm feeling those beers right now.
Yeah. That happens
like,
a lot quicker
first you
than
don't
you'd
feel
expect.
Them, and then like 5 minutes in, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I drank some beers. And we're also drinking a third beer here, although someone doesn't have one. Monique, get so into that beer.
So
I
just beer I actually agree to this part of the evening for me.
Speaking of Trump, so yes. has I wanted to ask you about Trump and late night comedy. I mean, it seems like in many ways he's been God's gift to late night comedy, mm-hmm. and great for, you know, the Colbert starting a new show and all of the, for all the shows really. Does it ever stop being fun? Like, is there a point where you're like, this isn't fun anymore, or we can't make fun of this anymore, it's scary? Or also, like, is it hard to parody somebody who is, like, already a self-parody?
Yes. The point where it stopped being fun for me was, like, actually kind of, like, right before Christmas, because, like, no one's taking this guy down before Christmas. Christmas, no one gives a crap about politics, so he's going to sail right on through. And then it's January, and then you got primaries right on the corner. This guy could actually do something. And I was like, this isn't fun. And then we just make fun of him more because that's what our job is. So we don't stop doing that. But it's a little challenging. I remember, I think about Sarah Palin, who is like such a godsend and then an almost immediate curse to the comedy world. Because she was like so great and then so immediately like a hack punchline like within the course of like a month. Because she was only relevant, you'll back me up on this, for like 3 months. She was introduced in the 2008 Republican convention. Nobody knew who the hell she was. Everyone scrambled and Googled her. Mm-hmm. And then...
The old Sarah Palin. People yeah. were pronouncing it for a while.
Yes.
That's true.
Sarah Paladin,
you
different.
Google that.
That's my D&D character. but then, November, like 2-3 months later, she's no longer relevant because they lose. That was the entirety of her political relevance.
And kind yet of exciting she's... when she quit governor like 2 months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, that was
I don't
fun.
Have time for this shit.
Yeah, oh, she had to go tour the country in a bus with her picture on the side.
But she had a reality TV just, show. She's going to be a TV judge now. You heard about
that? That's
true.
I've heard, yeah.
Does she have a law degree? I thought that was crazy.
You don't need a law. She's, you know, the law of the
But,
the
like,
law
Judge
senior,
Judy has
whatever,
a law degree. Law Judge Judy's like, I went to law school.
Yeah, but Dr. Phil isn't a doctor, so anything can happen.
Yeah.
But Trump is sort of the person that he keeps giving. Like, there's something insane to talk about every day, right?
There is, yes. But that's, but then he also keeps winning. So there's something insane for him to say every day, and then that doesn't make, and then it's like,
Okay, I'm going to say something controversial. Devil's advocate.
Do it.
The only good thing about a Trump presidency is 4 years of Daryl Hammond and Anthony Antamanic impressions.
Yeah.
It's true.
I would like that for 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we can let Anthony Antamanic keep doing Trump.
Even without him, he's not president.
If you don't know, Anthony Antamanic and James Adomian do mm-hmm. an amazing Trump versus Bernie. Yep. We actually had him on as a guest for our first show, and he's
the
brilliant.
Best Trump. The best Trump.
I actually...
Daryl Hammond. I love Daryl Hammond,
yes,
too.
Yes, great.
So we want to talk about Canadian politics, too.
Yeah, so we sort of a little... I don't know if this is allowed, but... We have a Canadian on the show right now,
ooh.
Monique. And she can't even vote.
Somebody give
stage.
Me a Labatt beer. maple syrup.
So you're not voting in the U.S. election.
I'm not.
Yeah. Did you vote for Trudeau?
No, I haven't voted ever in my life. I'm sorry, guys.
What?
Don't be like me.
Get off the stage.
I'm an example of who
But you've
of
lived in the U.S.
Be.
For 8 years.
For
so
8 years.
So is that just because you just...
No, I just, I was bad. Okay. I was bad.
So,
can you vote absentee in Canada, even though you live in New York City?
I don't know.
But I don't know.
See, the thing about that, this,
why did we have you
I
on?
Live in this really amazing political purgatory, right? I don't know what the fuck's going on in Canada, except for that Trudeau is banging.
He's so...
Yes. He's adorable.
And you're not talking about policy. You're talking about...
Oh, I'm talking about policy. no, I'm done. But then also, I can't vote here, so it's like, I'm really conflicted as like a woman of color. I'm like, Bernie, woman of color, and then woman of color, Hillary. So it's like...
Wait, how does Bernie get woman of color?
Because Bernie reps. He gets the color part.
He's the whitest.
Not in the votes, he doesn't.
Because he's dope. Okay, listen.
He's dope.
Like 70 years ago, when he was a young boy, he stood hand in hand for civil rights.
Fair
I
enough,
am
fair
a big enough. Fan yeah. of that. Big fan of that. And he continues to stand for civil rights. So I'm a big fan of that. But as a That's woman, true. I would love to see a female president.
The Canadian version of me is like so sorry right now. your lack of voting and knowledge about your own. There's some guy at BuzzFeed Canada who's cranking out parliamentary coverage for you.
I will say,
the maple syrup bills that are being passed.
A big reason why is because you may not believe this, but like Canadian politics or the Canadian government is not a dictatorship, but like Stephen Harper was in office for like 30 years. We had a guy in office for a very, very, very long time. It's not 4-year stints like here. So it's like it felt like it didn't. And
could
don't
that be
do what I do.
Because nobody voted, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe. But even if you have to vote, obviously, in like our version of the primaries and making sure that like there are more people in the party that you want in house because their numbers matter more for who's
the prime minister, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, yeah.
Do you get Canadian health care?
I don't.
So wait, do you have health care here?
You have to live there to get it.
Do you get health care here, or if you need something, you just like cross the border?
I had it for 5 years after I left, and then like after 5 years.
But I think if someone born in Canada that moved to the U.S., you can legally vote for Ted Cruz, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is Trump going to bring that up again? Like, how's his lawsuit about that?
They're working on a suit.
There's like 9 pending lawsuits that we may never hear about again.
The most litigious president in the history of the country.
He still has investigators in Hawaii looking for that person.
Oh, jeez. They're going to find it. Monique, a lot of people are saying that they will move to Canada if Trump wins.
Mm-hmm.
Question, is that a good idea? And is there room for all of us there?
Yeah. Oh, my God. 1/3 of the country is with population. 2/3 is Northwest Territories. So it's cold, but y'all can live there.
Okay.
You know?
Just wondering where I should take my son if Trump becomes president.
Yeah, for sure.
Just buy a cabin.
You pack him up in a donut box and ship him up.
Tim Hortons has good coffee.
They do.
The only reason why I'm in America is because the glass ceiling for actresses is a little low there. Especially actresses of color. So I'm really trying to get that BET show, you know? And it's hard to do that in Toronto where there's no BET.
It's just Degrassi.
It's just Degrassi.
BETC. BET Canada.
Right.
So we have a similar question for you, Evan, in terms of, like, Trump, like, dominating the news cycle. And
I voted, by the way. I did. I voted all the way through.
For you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Charlie and I just went to the library to vote for like a very small
participatory budgeting in our district.
Yeah, like that's how nerdy we are.
Actually,
we walked into the library with our kid and they were like, "Hey, do you live in the neighborhood?" We're like, "Yes, we're here to vote." And she was like, "Oh, yes."
We were literally the first person voting on purpose. That is true.
We were like, no, we're here. She's like, really? I just was stopping people in the street and trying to get them to vote. We're like, no, we're here.
Although,
like 2 ballots, please.
I don't think it was actual real voting because it was just like a paper ballot box.
Yeah.
It's like
10 people.
It was participatory budgeting where a councilman wanted us to tell us what to spend money on.
Yeah, it was like $1 million in our district, guys. Yeah. Anyway, if you live in Chelsea or Hell's Kitchen, go out to the library. The old lady will be so excited to see you.
Everybody's been talking about how the media has created Trump and the media is partly to blame for Trump. And I was watching Meet the Press this weekend and Chuck Todd sort of talked about how Trump is dominating the news cycle and it was going to be about Brussels, but then Trump changed the conversation for it to be about the candidates' wives. And Chuck was kind of lamenting that, but then his first story was about the candidates' wives. And I don't necessarily blame him because how can you not cover that? And how can anybody not cover the ridiculous retweet? But do you think the media shares any of the blame of creating this monster?
This is because I came for the non-voter, right? Now I have to defend the press against Trump.
Yeah, don't come fair. For you. Don't come for me.
I think that's totally fair. I think it's 100% fair.
Can you defend the entire press?
No, listen. The thing about this is, honestly, the honest answer to this is that just because there is a lot of sort of not the best moments when it comes to Trump that he gets covered, you can't blame the entire press for that. The press has been very hard on Trump. The problem is, rich guys, to be honest. Rich guys are responsible for Trump. You can go and you can look at Les Moonves, president of CBS. You don't have to comment on this.
He's a god.
And he said in a recent, he was caught on tape recently saying, "Look, Trump is great for us. Great for ratings. Great for creating more."
Ad dollars.
The rich guys who ran the Republican Party, they stood next to Trump all the time. He had plenty of money to give them. Mitt Romney, right? He took his endorsement. Hillary Clinton obviously went down to his wedding. Like there was a whole thing. There was a whole sort of rich, wealthy, powerful circle that Trump was in. And when he kind of broke out of that and did his own thing, all these people who sort of all the powerful types were like, oh, it's fine. What can happen? What can happen? What can happen? And they just started like last week or the week before starting to really care about this. And that's sort of part of the problem. As the press, it's very hard. I mean, look, it's true that the press will follow, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the bright, shining beacon, flashing light. And if you want to be presidential candidate,
retweet.
And you want to go and you want to say what, you know, Lindsey Graham's cell phone number on TV, you're going to get coverage for it probably. But the reality is the guy is driving a huge part of Republican politics right now. And it's really hard for the press not to cover that. I mean, I think that there are, you know, probably some mistakes that have been made, but you can't really blame. If you look at every statement that people get mad about, everything there that they wish the press was stronger on, every single time he has been called out by somebody. Reporters are on him every day saying how bad he is. The problem is a lot of voters don't care, and nobody who could have stopped him at the beginning did.
It's been like $9 billion of free media, right, or whatever it is, but like 70% of it has been negative, but right, it doesn't matter.
That's well, right. because we're contributing, because right now we just asked a question about Trump. Yeah.
So that's 2.5 beers of Trump media criticism, by the way. So
but
let's cut that out of the
pocket. Fans don't trust the media, so anytime the media attacks him, they're like, yeah, they think that's awesome, because they believe that the media is part of the whole same Washington institution, and they just want to blow the whole thing up. And I would argue also, if I may, Chuck, Todd, if I may interrupt, I don't know.
Are you talking to me?
I was sort of talking to an imaginary. I felt like I was on Meet the Press for a second, and I was making some points, and I was kind of excited.
This is just the theater.
To Chuck Todd. So
okay, thank you, Chuck Todd. The rich guys create him in another way, and I honestly believe that, like, so, not to get nerdy, but here we go, Citizens United. You know, Citizens United created a world in which rich guys could fund campaigns, and, like, people like Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich last time around would never have been in nearly as long as they were if it weren't for people like Foster Freeze and Sheldon Adelson, who just poured out millions and millions of dollars to just keep them in the race for months. And that took power away from the GOP, from a man named Rance Priebus, who you can never imagine a man named Rance Priebus ever having any power to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Rance Priebus.
Or like all the power, right? Like Rance Priebus.
Exactly.
You will go and see the Rance Priebus.
Like, he is the ghost from the original
Moxie Fruvis. You guys remember them?
Oh, Canada.
No. I think that's a Canadian band. Is that really a Canadian band?
Nobody knows Moxie Fruvis?
No, it's a Canadian band. I listened to them in college, and I'm ashamed
of
it.
Thank you.
So anyways, it took all the power away from the party, and now even though the super PACs aren't really that powerful last election or this election, the GOP is just a neutered puppy whining and hoping that people do what it wants it to do, and the voters don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, well, they spent all all of the super PAC money, and like, you know, they shifted their whole platform to being like, yeah, people really care about capital gains tax rates. It's like, no. The people, they're like Christian conservatives voting for you, don't care about that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Trump comes out and says Mexicans are rapists, and, you know, they switch teams. Big surprise.
But
I wanted to ask Opus real quick, because I know that you were a big part of Colbert Super PAC and all of that. But I'm fascinated with how Citizens United is not playing a big part in the race this year.
It didn't play a big part.
Like Jeb Bush with all the money, the money has not been determining the outcome, which is
Jeb Bush
counterintuitive to what I thought.
Jeb Bush should have just paid the voters. Like, if he had just given $2,000 to every voter, I was like, here.
Now, there was a breakdown of like
that worked,
how
maybe.
Much he spent in Iowa, and it was like, I want to say it's something like $70 per vote for vote he got. Like, it was a lot of like dumb money.
I would have voted for him for $2,000. I would have done it.
Sure.
$2,000 and no one calling me on the phone or like invading my airspace and interrupting my general hospital with like their annoying ads. I would have done it.
Super PACs were not at all, not big in this race. They actually weren't big in the 2008 race. What they were big in is in local elections and state elections, which is why you've got states that want to ban like LGBT rights right now, because you've got these people that are packed into state houses and like school boards and crap, where like some super PAC can just drop in with a couple hundred thousand dollars and just take over.
Because it doesn't cost that much money to win a local election.
Yeah, because you guys are the only ones that are showing up at your
right.
goddamn...
Stuffing that library ballot
yeah,
box is not too
exactly.
hard.
Right.
Yeah, and also, they could easily rig that election that we had at the library. It would have been very easy to show up. We could show up the next day with wigs on. They would have been
know.
Like, sure.
It's pretty hard to cross a librarian, in my experience.
That's right. You know what? Actually, we brought up Mexicans, so I want to bring out our half-Mexican friend.
Always love
Let's welcome Frank
like
Garcia Hell, who played.
I love that introduction.
Frank who played Cody's uncle earlier. Frank
yeah,
from UCB
you.
Theater and Broadway videos, Mas Mejor.
I mean,
joining the panel.
Yes, being.
I was waiting for my wig lines to go away. It's like kind of breaking out. Anytime I like wear wigs, like. That's a, it just like, my body's like, no, you shouldn't be doing this. And I'm like, but it's funny, right?
They're like, no.
So you just brought up North Carolina, Georgia, the mm-hmm. LGBT stuff. I really wanted to talk about that. First thing I wanted to talk about is that, so North Carolina passes this anti-LGBT law about bathrooms. And just
well, it's not, that's what that,
that's
it's
one
not
element.
About, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They made it about bathrooms. If
okay.
I may.
Well, I want to talk about bathrooms specifically in a bit, but the thing that's really amazed me this week.
He's been dying about bathrooms. Thinking about.
I got a lot to say about bathrooms.
We're gonna potty train our kids soon. We're obsessed with bathrooms.
Maybe that's why it's on my mind. Yeah. But the backlash to this law in North Carolina that passed and the law in Georgia that didn't pass has been led by corporations. It, like the reason that and Mike Pence in Indiana last year, whenever that was, and how amazing is that that like all of these corporations are coming to the rescue of a liberal cause, that's great in this case, but also sort of scary that corporations seem to be able to change legislation with their threats, thoughts.
Well, I mean, I don't want to speak up for corporations at all. I mean, but I would say that. This is because the people who buy the things as corporations make right. will not stand for it, right? I mean, if everyone didn't love the show The Walking Dead, Nathan Deal would have signed that bill. People love that show.
And
they love where
Georgia.
It's set. They love how it's selling real estate in Atlanta and how it's creating making tourism in Atlanta. And when the government, when the governor of Georgia looked at zombie television show appeasing
zombie
the
voters.
Right wing, he went for the zombies. That's what happened, and that's
the other zombies. I would say.
Yeah, that's right.
See that? Did see that?
That's
right.
You're
that astute political commentary I just threw in there.
But that's true. I mean, that's. I mean, so I mean.
So it's a corporation making the move, but it's the voice
that,
of the
I
people.
I don't think that on its own, Dow Chemical gives really a shit about this one way or the other.
Right.
But they do. You know, whoever wants to buy chemicals,
which is all of us. We all love chemicals.
They can't wait to be the chemicals.
They don't want you going down to the chemical store and buying somebody else's chemicals. Is my point. So, you know, keep buying those chemicals, I guess.
And historically, like, there's been a lot of corporate support for LGBT rights in, like, gay marriage because they have humans that work for them, even if they aren't, they are maybe technically humans themselves. But they actually need, they like, you know, a lot of the big corporations were big in favor of gay marriage because it just simplified crap for them. Like, they didn't have to worry about, like, not covering their employee's spouse because they were the same, it was a same-sex partnership instead of a marriage or whatever.
It's kind of easier to treat people equally.
Exactly, and I don't want to,
yes.
I do not want to in any
Imagine
way come
that.
Out as a libertarian because I am not, and I would like to make Ayn Rand cry, but still, still, there's some points where the market just goes, these people go like, this is probably better for us, bottom line.
I have a question. Yeah. This may sound really stupid, but corporations in the eyes of the law, are they individuals?
Well, Romney said they were people.
They're people.
Yeah,
corporations are people, my friend.
Corporations are made of people.
Okay. I'm just double check.
There's a, yeah. Legally, in the Supreme Court, it was the Santa Cruz Railroad versus State of California, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep. I just dropped that.
I know it's weird, but like eventually we will evolve to a place where we will see corporations as individuals and that their votes or their like interests will count. And until like we can like, I don't know, what's the word? When you marry something together.
Marriage.
Marriage?
No, I was
Combine.
Thinking like consolidate. I don't know. Anyways, I know it seems strange now, and it seems like something like very foreign and alien to us.
But
to
one
do
day,
that.
You
but
marry
one
a
day, we don't want to marry a corporation. But I'm just saying, will there ever be a time, just the same way that artificial intelligence is like something on the horizon?
Will there
like,
be will a corporation? Corporation.
Will Probably. There be corporations?
So someday I'm going to be like, no son of mine is going to be a corporation. And then I'm going to feel really bad like 30 years down the line. Like yeah. I was
also,
behind
you guys
history.
Should vote, but also don't ask stupid questions. Don't
All right, I want to talk about bathrooms.
Yeah. So, Charlie and I are obsessed with the obsession with bathrooms.
Yeah, but just, yeah. I mean, so, I know it wasn't the whole thing of the North Carolina law, but it was a big part of it, was that in Charlotte, they passed a law saying that transgender people can go to the bathroom that they want to, and then the state had an emergency meeting of their legislator that cost the taxpayers like $50,000 so that they could overturn it, which, by the way, I love the hypocrisy of Republicans being like, we need to overturn local law as much as they love states' rights. Those states don't like city rights when cities were like, people who are liberal live want to have
like
a law.
Charlotte's a liberal city in a fairly
barely.
Conservative
it's a barely a liberal city I would imagine but yeah
I mean they've got there's rocking an airport chairs there. In the there's airport, an airport
they so. Do they have lovely rocking
they
chairs
they have lovely
CLT.
Rocking chairs yeah. in the airport
you get a Bojangles you sit in the rocking chair yep. you look at the airplanes hanging from the
exactly
raptor.
I'm thinking they're taking it easy so then they wouldn't you'd have to stress yeah. about
they
this.
They have a great food
are
at
these
airport.
Guys really afraid of men, Bugs Bunny style, dressing up like women and sneaking into women's bathrooms. I think they think that transgender people are just men in wigs secretly.
They're just in an 80s like college like yeah. movie. Yeah. Basically
obsessed
just
with people in bathrooms.
Well, not to be like not to be that guy entirely, but we actually did a great story about this at BuzzFeed politics.
BuzzFeed.com/politics.
At BuzzFeed Politics on Twitter. So the thing about this is one of those things where some people sat in a room and figured out how they were going to fight this new era of rights expansion. And they picked this bathroom thing, and the story that they decided to tell you was about the idea of, like, the young girl in the locker room, and like some dude comes in because
Mike Huckabee probably
because
he said
he
wanted to.
That's right, because he can because of this law. And obviously, this is not a problem that has any sort of real factual basis. It's not a thing that happens at all. But they made a decision to make this thing that they fought over, and it's been extremely successful. The story that we did actually was about how so far the proponents of equal rights have had a really difficult time fighting this. They have not found out the way to push back on this message. But it's back when you look, if you go back to sort of Prop 8 in California, they spoke at length about the idea of your kids are going to be in school and they're going to be told that everything that you think that is true is not true and things you believe in is not going to be true. It's always about the kids, right? And so this is what this bathroom thing is about. And there's
who are these predators that want to watch people shit and pee? I don't know why you want to sneak into a bathroom.
Ooh,
with the
listen,
I don't know if you have the internet, but I think you can probably Google and find
like
thousands
very,
of those people.
I'm sure that fetish,
at any time that you
all
want.
Right, that fetish exists, but broadly, really, who wants to sneak
like
into
an
a
order
bathroom?
Of, like that's like literally an episode of SVU.
But I mean, the reality. I guess what I'm trying to impart is that it's actually this is real politics. This is real politics. This is people who have one point of view, who have focus groups and polls and money and figure out the best way to get their agenda across. And the other side so far has not figured out really how to push back against this.
All right, here's the way to push back on it.
That's what's going on.
Here's the way to push back on it. I have a friend who is transgendered, used to be a woman, now he's a man. When I met him, I didn't know he used to be a woman. He looks like a man. He's got facial hair. He's a guy. He's married to a woman, right? But this law is saying that he needs to go in the women's room. And that's worse, right? Do you want a guy who's attracted to women, who's married to a woman, who has a goatee hanging out in the women's room? Like, that seems like that should be the way to fight it, right? Isn't that worse?
Well, not worse.
No one
worse
wants to take
him.
My bait.
I don't really understand this question. But.
The question is, a woman...
It would look like...
You want me to decide who goes... I mean, I don't give a shit.
Well, no, okay.
You don't give a shit Let's about where they give a shit.
That's correct.
Let's just okay. have... Also, should just should be single occupancy restrooms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Get rid of the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, make all the bathrooms
That's what
nice.
I'm for. For just like bathroom privacy.
Yeah.
That's a platform that they haven't spoken about. Bathroom privacy. Your own stall so you could just poop or pee
in peace. Yeah. Well, not God bless America.
Not only
because there are creepy women that are in the bathroom that I'm like, I know they're looking in that crack.
Right.
And they're just looking at me.
And you go to almost.
And they're weird people.
Yeah.
Just, you know?
You go to any other country and they have floor to ceiling doors with no crack.
I don't know.
You're
Europe,
going to a lot of European countries,
on the street,
I think.
Where you just like urinate on the street in a little thing.
Because there are people of our own sex.
You think of a bathroom privacy gap in the United States?
A literal gap. A literal gap. Why is there a 2-inch gap?
There's
every
a 2-inch gap where some weird guy who's like, oh, is this where all the dicks hang out? He thinks he's being funny. And then just like look peeking through. Be like, peekaboo.
It is really funny that like, men have to stand in a urinal and pull out their penis. I would honestly,
cool
I would look
it.
At every penis. I know every woman here would be like, if I had a dick and I was standing in a urinal, I'd want to check everyone out. I'd be like, all right.
You're
that's
the
cool.
reason why I have to do
if
math
I, if I
in
could
my
see
head
vaginas, I would look
to
at
pee in
them.
Public.
Why not?
You have to do what?
Math in my head. I learned at one point, if I'm like standing a bunch of people like shoulder to shoulder, I'm like, I just can't, I'm shy, I got to pee shy. It's a
so
shy bladder.
We
so
looked in your
I
mind,
learned,
it's like a beautiful
I learned that
mind.
You do math in your head. You go like, oh, 4 plus 4 is 8, 8 plus 8 is 16, 32, 64, 128, 256.
And you're
then,
peeing
then,
like crazy.
And then suddenly your penis yeah. is like, he's distracted, let's go. And
yeah, I don't
I
do
swear,
that.
Try it out next time you can't pee.
I don't
do
that.
Guys, seriously,
whole,
do you guys look
there's a whole
look,
genre
look
of dad
at,
jokes to deal with this. There's
but,
a whole genre
But do you guys
this.
Like look at penises? I would want to.
So
or are you just so used to it you don't?
Something a dad might say in a situation like this, they'd be like, oh, this water's really cold. Like, there's not, like, dick-sized jokes that you do.
Oh, but your hands
you,
are really small.
Of course you look. I mean, obviously you look. Why wouldn't you look?
Trump has been getting those all the time, and that's why he has all that arsenal of how big his hands are.
It's very
right. Yeah, I yeah, think yeah. people should go to the bathroom that they want to go to, that they
yes.
identify
yes.
as.
I want to go in the urinal with all the dicks.
It's because we live in a patriarchy, and it's because we still have these feelings of, like, gender, like, what men are allowed to do and what women are allowed to do and, like, rape culture, the ideas behind it. Now, yeah. I know that sounds really like a stretch, like, why rape culture when you're talking about going to the bathroom? But, like, people think that men are entitled to do certain things. So if it's like, I have a guy going into a girl's bathroom, they might just be an animal and they might ravage a girl if they go in.
These poor delicate women.
These poor delicate
but then
women.
Afterwards,
and it's
if
like,
that did happen, then they wouldn't do anything to, you know, like to do anything about that after.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
but
right.
so we
it's
just
like,
have
oh,
to
you
make
can't get abortion
to
or we're not
going to
take
that.
Care of you if you got raped.
Yeah,
we have laws to
of.
Cover all of this. We should enforce those laws better than we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
There's no laws that say rapists go to jail, but there should be laws about men going into bathrooms.
The bathrooms. Yeah.
Right. It's
ridiculous.
Just
put,
ridiculous.
I think there are laws that say rapists go to jail.
Okay,
I'm like the biggest buzzkill up here.
Not North Carolina.
I think there are laws
the
that say that.
I think we can
no,
all agree.
There are norms. There's no law ever that says
Cody, you just got fact-checked hardcore.
Oh,
there
shit.
Is no law.
Just put rocking
Three
chairs in every airport. Everything will be solved.
All right, here's a new topic. I think we've talked enough about
no,
pissing, shitting, and dicks.
Penis size. Want to talk about it forever?
Pissing, shitting, dicks.
So the FBI is dropping their lawsuit with Apple because the FBI discovered a way to break into the terrorists.
I love that shit.
iPhone, which, all right, that's good that their fight is over, but it's. Are we a little scared that the FBI is like, never mind. We know how to break into your phone. It's all good. We can see what you're doing while you're iPhone.
I'm surprised it took
that
them this
gangster,
long though.
Yeah, me too.
Because it does seem like a older parent or something like that that's trying to figure out like Facebook, and then they're like, oh, never mind. I figured it out. And it's like, yeah, you probably could have done that before you made this huge thing about, like, you don't visit, you don't call, and, like, getting Apple involved. And then now, I don't know.
I will say, I think it is a very complicated issue. And like, my two favorite things are on opposite sides, Obama and Apple. I really love both of them very much.
What about your son and your wife?
That's like four.
You said
and
Obama
five.
And Apple.
4 and 5.
Well, okay, I'll go home and tell your son Charles, who's named after you, that you love Obama more than him.
I think we all need to know what is 3. You did Obama, Apple, then a 3, and then your wife and
what's
child.
What's the Trinity? What's the whole
4 and 5?
Beer.
What's 3?
It's the band Fish.
It's either beer or city bike.
Chuck.
City bike 6. All right. Obviously, I love my family first, but I'm just saying two of my loves are Obama and Apple, and I think that I agree with Apple. My instinct was to side with privacy, and I think that like we, even though it might hinder law enforcement, like it's better to protect us from the Chinese hackers that want all of our information. Mm. But then I thought Obama had a very reasoned response to like maybe there are some situations where we do need it. What do you guys think?
You know, I am a avid Samsung user. Have been for many, many years.
Oh my God!
Why isn't Samsung in the news?
It's huge in Canada.
It's not. It's just,
the FBI
like
just
it.
Already knows how to get into Samsung phones.
I think any other phone besides Apple, they know how to get into. Yeah. So it's time you motherfuckers get off your high horses and let the FBI into your shit. Okay.
That sounds like because I'm from Texas. I grew up in Texas, and my family there is very much of like, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, then shit, you shouldn't care. You know, like, they're just like, if you're not doing anything wrong, then why are you trying to protect something? But I'm of the idea of like, well, it should be our privacy. Like, I don't think they, I don't know. I go back and forth on it, but for the most part, I think it's like, it's just scary that somebody could just, at you know, the drop of a hat, just be like, nope, that's my information.
And your phones have everything. Everything, like your entire life is on your phone. All of your pictures, every text you've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, well, I might not be doing something wrong, but I'm definitely doing some shameful things. It's not illegal, but...
Like naked selfies, right?
What?
Yeah! Yes,
so
Opus!
So you got that? I didn't know if I had your number right.
Oh.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like I'm kind of with you, Charlie. Like that there's. I'm a bit of on both sides here. But I feel like there are so many ways that if people want to communicate on the internet, that they can just do it. It's not going to be iMessage or the you know Apple Mail app. They can go like people like communicate in like Instagram comments. Like they communicate like I believe if I'm not mistaken, ISIS is trying to produce their own encryption algorithm, and they could just go on any number of like crappy first-person shooters from the last 10 years that nobody plays anymore and get on their voice and just talk back and forth. And no one's, like, there's just so many, they could go on Second Life and just be like, boop, boop, boop. It's just me
Second
and
Life
and
is just terrorists now.
It's They're just terrorists.
Like an Elf appears in World of Warcraft and just says, like, I see you, want to commit jihad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No one's going to, like, track that. They can't. Right. So, like, it's kind of a moot point. It's a MacGuffin.
Well, I mean, obviously the problem with the argument, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong, so what do I care, is who defines what's wrong, right? That's why we care about this privacy issue to begin with. But
That got some... We've had no applause all night, but got applause, yeah,
but,
Evan.
But what surprises me about this whole Apple iPhone FBI story is what on somebody's iPhone is not already on the internet somewhere? People who... I mean, it's, you know, it's like you said, it's like... I mean, my phone, and I have an Android too, so...
Ah, Squeen.
That's it.
Wow.
But my phone will tell me, it's like, I see you're going to the airport in an hour. Shouldn't you be leaving now? Like, somebody is tracking all that information already, and I'm sure it's not. They don't need to crack my phone open to see, like, you know, what I ordered from Seamless. Seamless knows what I ordered from Seamless.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, that's my...
We're all very...
I don't totally get this, but I think it's telling in terms of where we are in politics that the FBI went toe-to-toe with Apple... Apple did a, you know, Tim Cook said, here's a smaller iPhone, P.S., fuck you, FBI.
Yeah.
FBI says, oh, all right. And they remain, and they're like, oh, we find some other way to do it. Like, I mean, that's actually kind of a big moment, that when you have a battle between the FBI and Apple, and the FBI says, all right, we actually have a secret way of doing it that won't tell you what it is.
And
that's a big thing about who's in charge.
Their argument before that was trust us.
Yeah,
you can trust us.
But that's a big
moment.
And
then when they don't get it, they're like, oh, fuck you, you didn't need to trust us anyways. We got to weigh in.
Do you guys remember how cute it was when Trump was like, boycott Apple? And everyone was like, no.
Yeah, that's one of the few things.
Not
going to
do that.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, there are things I would boycott, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm never boycotting Apple. I would have to kill myself first.
No. You have two people on the stage that have Android phones.
If Mike Daisy couldn't convince you to stop buying Apple
products.
Guys,
I'm buying Apple products. I know that they're made by little children in China, and I feel bad about it, but I'm still buying it.
I have an Android phone, but I have a G4 tower at home. You know what I'm saying?
A G4 tower.
I got. You know, that's
G4 tower? Tower.
That's a.
Wow, you're running OS 9. What's going on?
Yeah,
That didn't get an applause.
It's my boyfriend's.
Is it so, teal?
I have to say, okay, so this is... I'm going to switch topics. Thousands of people signed a petition to allow open carry of firearms at the RNC convention this summer.
Let it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
No!
Secret Service is like, go fuck yourself. No way that's happening. But here's a question, guys. What if a bad guy with a gun gets through? What are they going to do without their guns? What's going
to
happen?
Okay, I actually have a great response to this because journalism was done today by someone in America.
I don't know about that.
The person responsible for this entire controversy, this controversy is great. So first, it's a petition comes out, and 50,000 people sign, let us bring these concealed carry weapons into the RNC, into the convention.
It's all joke signatures, right?
Well, it turns out the person behind the petition itself is a Democrat who favors gun control,
right,
who told CBS News, you know, just to, we can bail CBS out now, we have to do the Les Moonves stuff.
Les Moonves is a god.
He's a god. it turns out that he did this petition drive specifically to create this exact moment that happened. He's like, look, if they care a lot about gun control, let them have guns in their convention, right? And the Secret Service came in and said no. So it's a great story. I would tell everybody to go and, you know, Google it or Bing
But here, this is, I'm sorry, Frank, go ahead. It just genuinely bums me out because, like, I'm a pretty liberal guy, but the fact that I have, like, numerous people in my Facebook feed being like, ha-ha, it's going to be so funny when they all shoot each other in the head. Yeah, I'm like, no, those are humans. So they're not humans you agree with, but they're human beings.
And I was joking about that, but that's, like, one of the things that also what, like, bugs me about that is that that it's from the liberal side, and something that I've noticed that's happened with, like, the Democratic Party is, like, for years, it's been like the loudest person in the room, like in the like conservatives, right? It's like kind of battling, like yelling with yelling, and they're getting results more so than Democrats have. And so now there's this shift. We saw it actually happen with Rubio going up against Trump, where he just starts adapting that type of behavior. Yeah. And I think that's kind of what liberals are starting to do now, where you see a lot of that, what we call like microaggression and all these things that are on the liberal side of just being like, I'm going to be the loudest in the room because it's worked so long for this party, and it's kind of seeped into the liberal side of it, and now it's kind of being, it all seems to me like starting to kind of just mush together, people just yelling, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, and like, I'm yelling loudest, therefore I'm right about this, and like, to hear like, that being like, set up by, you know, somebody who's liberal for like, that conversation to happen, I don't know, it just seems like kind of gross to me. Rather than taking the higher road on that.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I just...
I actually think it's really interesting because that's a more nuanced take than we have in politics almost ever now. I mean, a lot of people were sort of, you know, applauding at how awesome this guy was for trolling the entire Republican Party with this. But you're right. I mean, I guess if he had been successful, there would be 20,000 guns in the middle of the arena.
I mean, that's the basis of that is like, wouldn't it be hilarious if there was a gunfight at the GOP corral?
I don't know if that's the basis of the guy that started the petition.
I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't know the guy's point of view.
The petition was really good satire, and I thought it was a joke the moment I read it, but are you saying that, like, all of the people that signed it, a lot of them were signing it sincerely?
No, I'm saying the guy who started it was a joke, and his signatures were sincere. I mean,
it became an issue
on the campaign trail. Every candidate had to weigh in on whether or not there could be guns at a convention, and the Secret Service finally comes in and says, you know, that's probably not such a great idea. To have like every major politician in one room and everyone in that room armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
now there's no guns except for the one bad guy that sneaks in. Yeah.
But then like,
oh no, there are plenty of guns in that room. Do not worry about that.
Do you think this is the same thing as like having like abortions at the Democratic convention?
Yeah.
Right? It's like sort of the same thing. Like we want unlimited abortions all the time, every second of the day, and they want nonstop guns all the time, every second of the day. Think about it.
But you said it was like a joke. It started as a joke, and I think that happens a lot too, is satire, where it's not clear that it's satire, or the satire's not sharp enough that it's like, now people like have their own, every single place has their own onion, but instead of like being satire, it's just lying. Do you know what I mean? It's just lying.
Yeah, it's not sharp
Fox
enough.
Fox News is kind of like The Onion. Their stories are all fake.
Yeah. But it's just like, there's a lot of like people
but please,
who claim
anyone
that it's
from
satire,
Fox News,
but it's not clear
show.
Enough right. or it's not sharp enough that like you can see, you can point to that satire. And so it just becomes like, like I was joking earlier about the onion, you know, but like there are people who just see that and then they're just like react to it. And it's like the onion's so clearly satire, but then you have these like smaller places like back home, like in Denton, Texas, like they have like an onion type of thing, and somebody recently posted something and I was like, just read the article. Just read it. It's so obvious, but it's still like just kind of pitching lies rather than having a satirical take on whatever it is they're trying to do.
So basically you're saying like these like guys who sit on stage with professional comedians pretend to be funny because they know about politics.
No, that's
total jerks, right?
Total asshole.
I don't know where that came from.
Dick.
No, I'm saying like that's, I mean, you're saying like people don't know how to do satire as well. I mean, there's a lot of attempts at it.
But that's the thing, though. It's like if you are politically savvy and you know what you're talking about, right, like then you are able to accomplish satire because you're leaning into something that you're trying to say about that subject, right? You're trying to shine a light on whatever it is that you're seeing as just out of whack or whatever it is that you're trying to like shine a light on. It's very obvious where you're leaning into with like what your point of view is about that thing,
right,
as opposed to just making up a lie. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
If you're
it makes
satire,
so much sense that I'm a little jealous that you didn't drink two beers.
I know. I definitely would not be having this conversation. I'd be like, let's go back to the rocking chairs.
I think we forgot to tell you had
so
to drink.
I'm so opus. I'm so glad you brought it back to two beers because I have to pee really bad. I don't know how everybody, drank
Charlie,
two beers.
We're wrapping up.
Yep.
That's my political stance.
So we wanted to talk about Brussels briefly.
Ending on a terrible note, Charlie. Comic, you're like, gold, right? No, before we go pee, let's talk about the terrorist attack.
Okay, but we wanted to talk about it within the context of Cuba and Obama being in Cuba and Obama going to a baseball game.
Yeah, so here's our question. Like, he was criticized for going to this baseball game and continuing with this historic trip. What was he supposed to do? Or what would have been the right answer? I think he would have been criticized if he came home. I think he would have been criticized if he didn't come home. What would you think is the right response to that? Panel?
This is an argument about long-term versus short-term politics, right? We're in the middle of a political campaign. People who are running for president think about 2 seconds ahead of where they are right now. Like, I want to win 8:58 p.m., But if you're the president and you're coming to the end of your 8-year term, you're trying to be in the history books. So what his thought is, in 20 years, people will look at that baseball game and not think that much about the Brussels attack, right? And if you're running for president, you think that people are going to care about this, about the Brussels attack for the next week, and don't care about that Cuba trip anymore. So it's really just sort of the way these two kinds of politics and these two kinds of ideas of how to sort of win an agenda connect. I mean, obviously, Obama gets criticized for everything, just as every other politician does. But in this case, I really think that we saw a really pure example of a guy trying to do that long-form kind of political change versus people who are trying to fight for votes in the next 2 days.
And plus, right? he's in his zero fucks stage of his presidency, which I've been loving and enjoying, because like the first 4 years were him learning like, oh, I can't work with the Republicans. I really thought I could. I'd go to their, I'll talk about healthcare with them and we'll really make a deal. And then, no, that's not gonna happen. So first 4 years was that. And then from like, his reelection to the midterms, he learned, oh, I can't work with Democrats either. They are all gonna run away from me and claim that they had nothing to do with me and then still not get elected. And so now he's like, you know what? Fuck all y'all. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And it's been enjoyable to watch. There are a little bit of frightening, constitutional ramifications about his signing statements. But let's ignore that and just enjoy the fact that he's like, fuck you. I'm going to make Cuba a thing now.
So they say he's a lame
fuck
duck
you,
now.
Net neutrality. Fuck you, everybody. Like, he's just doing it. Yeah. Fuck right, you,
so,
Dream
so,
Act.
So the Republican Party is acting like he's a lame duck, because apparently lame duck now is like the last year, according to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
But I can't wait till he's an actual lame duck in like December, January of next year. And I hope he gives -1 fucks at that time. And just like, I can't wait for him just to be like, anybody that's in jail for weed is out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not do that? That would be awesome.
I feel like he should have obviously stayed in Cuba, but just not went to the baseball game. He should have been like a good boyfriend to the world and stood by the phone and waited in case Germany needed to call and was like, I need your help, or what's your advice, or what do you think? And just like be there for them, you know? Just like,
that's what Justin Trudeau was doing.
Yeah.
Right? He was like, baby, what you need, Trudeau. I'm going to hang out with you. I want to like make sure you're okay.
Justin Trudeau.
I made you this casserole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, you look gorgeous today.
Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau is banging.
Yeah. And on that note,
fuck, marry, kill.
Note,
yes,
we've got to wrap up, ladies and gentlemen. We have a show 2 weeks from tomorrow, April 13th. Tickets are on sale at usbtheater.com. We're going to have a great panel.
Great panel. So please check out buzzfeed.com/politics. Who knows, guys? Just go to BuzzFeed. Check out, I don't know if you've heard of it, but Stephen Colbert.
Les Moonves is a god.
check out lesmoonves.com. Actually, come to the Female Gaze next Tuesday.
Next Wednesday.
To
but then
Monique.
Astronomy Club also has a show next Wednesday.
Yeah, and I was just pitching the Female Gaze because I'm in it as well.
Yeah.
Easy plug for me.
You can see Frank performing with Bucky here at the theater.
Bucky every Friday night at 7:30 here. Visit mosmehor.com. You got a new video coming out in a few weeks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, join us for a fourth beer in the bar. A great night. Thanks for coming out.
Bye. Thank you.
Vote in midterm elections, please.
Vote. Don't be me. Vote.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.